Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Shake that thing, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. A top-of-the-table clash in a West London derby in the Premier League this weekend. It's Friday, 15th of January. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Welcome, everybody. Lovely to have you with us. Jim, are you shaking that thing?
I am, mate. Yeah.
Yeah?
I am, I'm in a swivel chair, so I'm swiveling it. Does that still count?
I think I would put you down more of as a waver rather than a shaker. I think you wave that thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose so. I'm just advertising it, aren't I? We all advertise in our own ways.
An advert. Lukey Moore, how are you, big guy?
Pretty good, thank you very much for asking. I've had to jettison the swivel chair because it's just too noisy. So I'm on a common or garden dining table chair. And despite being perfectly happy for the last hour in the room, my cat has now decided, just as we started the show, he wants to get out.
Oh.
So I'm going to let him out. You guys carry on. I'll be back in a sec.
What a little sod. I would imagine, Jim, that you didn't need a chair for Arsenal versus Crystal Palace because you were probably on your feet for the majority of the 90 minutes.
I was actually on my bed. Mm-hmm. I've got a TV at the end of my bed. It's like the king of lockdown.
Oh, you talking about the game last night? I'll just go back and sort the cat out again.
Yeah.
Horrendous.
Yeah.
It was boring, is what it was. boring Arsenal. But yeah. I've been saying for, you know, since Wenger left, really, that this was likely to happen and we'd have to go backwards. And now I'm paying for it.
It's gone so far backwards, haven't they? It's embarrassing.
Mm. You also said, well, since Wenger's left, you've said, bring back Veng, all's forgiven.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I did say that.
Do you miss him, Jim?
Or was that you saying Big Back Sven?
Marcus, you really sound like Louis Theroux then. Interviewed some weird person on some fringes of society.
Yeah.
But it was Jim and about Arsene Wenger. Do you miss him? Do you think on some level, Jim, you miss him?
Do you think Louis Theroux will interview the guys from Arsenal Fan TV one day? Like in that kind of...
That would be amazing because the thing that's so good about Louis Theroux is he effectively gives people enough room to just tear themselves to pieces, doesn't it? So he's very, very disarming and very
good at
that.
I'd absolutely love it.
And I don't think that would be that much of a challenge with them.
I love it. I'd love him to go up to Robbie or to DT and just sit there really quietly for like 10 seconds, just go, do you think some people think this is a bit weird?
Yeah, that's the kind of question he asks. I think Louis Theroux would say, I mean, can you sort of see the club's point of view on this while they want to distance themselves?
They don't want you to use their name.
What he'd say to Robbie is, do you think, Robbie, that enough people respect Arsenal Fan TV?
you guys interviewed Gary Neville once. How did that go? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, the 90 minutes was very disappointing last night.
We've got nothing else on. That's the thing. It's still registering as shit, and there's nothing else to do.
Yeah, well, I suppose one of the surprising things, though, Jim, was that Granit Xhaka and David Luiz did quite a good job against Wilfried Zaha. I thought Zaha might be having a field day.
Xhaka did fall over in injury time, leading to an attack that came to nothing. So the narrative could very easily be quite different this morning. Xhaka had a good game other than that. He flew into some, he executed them really well, but a couple of tackles where if he hadn't executed them quite so, he might have executed the person on the ball. Yeah. flew in very, very hard a couple of times, but, he won the ball, so fair enough. But I do worry about that aspect of his game.
Nice to see Mikel Arteta winning the ball as well, Jim.
Yes. It's funny with Arteta, isn't it? Because have you seen a picture of him in his playing days lately? It's because he doesn't age.
No.
It just looks like Mikel Arteta now is turned out for Arsenal. It's bizarre. But he's clearly still got it. He could do a job.
I love that tackle. It was like he took a little glance at Townsend and it's like he said to himself, he's expert.
Yeah.
I'm getting there.
Yeah. Nothing else is going on in this game, so I'll give the Football Ramble something to talk about.
Yeah. Townsend's a danger man. Got to keep him at bay. And they did. One pleasing thing for Arsenal, other than the clean sheet, was Partey returned.
Yeah, and he had it was fairly straightforward period of the game that he was introduced in, but he didn't really put a foot wrong, play very well. We've seen so little of him, you almost forget he's there. So it's going to be like a new signing, as we used to say back in the days of Big Veng.
Well, Arsenal do sort of have a new signing, and I am going to do that really annoying thing where they haven't actually signed a footballer, but they'll talk about a new member of staff, if you like, as a new signing. Although when I say member of staff, director of football operations, they've announced Richard Garlick. Richard Garlick as their new director, Jim. Does that leave a good or bad taste in your mouth?
The taste is fantastic.
The run up was so long. I was just sitting there thinking he's going somewhere with this. I'll just wait and see what develops.
Yeah. It was a little penenka. Yeah.
To answer the question, the taste is fantastic, but it does leave my breath horrendous. Yeah. It needs to be done because Arsenal's boardroom troubles are well documented. Ralston Leahy didn't really sort of work out as hoped, and Huss Farmy, who was the sort of contract guru, has moved on as well. So clearly, if you look at his name was Huss Farmy. I think he was Farmy. Yeah, I think it was Fahmy. I think he was American. It's that going back to that thing where Americans can change their names when they're 3 years old.
Tuffy Shell
one morning, you're Brad. Yeah, exactly. One morning, you're
Showtime Chapowski.
Exactly. Yeah. You're Brad Funk Smith, Jr. You turn three, and then suddenly you're like, hey, I'm Flimpton Perambulator.
I'm Roy the Boy Chinchilla.
Exactly. So Huss Farmy, he's one of those guys, but he's gone. So there was a lot of space that needed to be filled. So hopefully Richard Garlick with a lot of experience.
So where are we with this? Louis Theroux is a new director of football at Arsenal. Is that what you're saying?
I think so. Well, Richard Garlick's in there, presumably because he's a new director of football operations, and Garlick is going to keep those blood-sucking agents away from the club, hopefully.
He wants to add a bit of depth. Operation.
Indeed. Well, as much as I regret saying this, chaps, I think we should move away from Arsenal and we should focus now on Liverpool versus Manchester United. It's the big one. It's the top of the table clash. Although Jason McAteer, the guy who used to do the dandruff adverts, says that Manchester United are currently in a false position. He thinks, Luke Moore, that silly season is still in full flow. Do you agree with him?
I instinctively don't want to agree with Jason McAteer on anything. So that'll be the kind of the background to this response.
Do you worry about what that might do to your IQ points, Luke?
Yeah, well, I think most people would agree they're already crushingly low. So probably haven't got an awful lot of room for maneuver.
You've got to consolidate.
Yeah, I do, actually. I don't really remember the context of how he said it. I think he was probably punditing on another game. So do you know what? I think he was punting on the FA Cup last weekend, so it might have been something to do with that. But anyway, I do kind of understand it, but it's not a great look when you're an ex-Liverpool player, Scouser, and you only start talking about false positions in the Premier League table when Man United go top. So I do kind of get it because it's a weird season generally, but someone's got to be top. You know, someone's got to win points. It's still the same, you know, merit system we've been used to over the last 100 and something years. Mm, so,
yeah.
Or give or take. So I think realistically, I think we all agree, Jason, that we do need some kind of measure of who's the best team. So
I love it.
You know, let's stick to it for now. You know, I mean, what else are you going to go with? You know, who whistles the best? You know, who can eat the most fucking chicken nuggets? What, you need to do a point system for football games. I think we can all agree.
No, I like it. It's Agent McAteer, isn't it? It's putting the pressure on. Like, is this a house of cards? Will this collapse under a little bit of pressure?
What, from Jason McAteer?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Mate, you know, what else can he do?
I'm an agent, or I'm a double agent. I don't know. Triple agent? Yeah. Well, that's what he is. Yeah. I think that someone asked him about Anthony Martial. Said, what do you think of a false nine, Jason? Do you think a false... What do you know? Is that a false position? Well, I think Man United are in a false position.
Yeah, maybe that's what they're doing. They're false champions.
Yeah,
I just feel like if Liverpool did want to undermine Man United with a serious press campaign to pile pressure on them, you know. We've got our best man on that, have we? Jason McAteer doesn't actually do anything anymore. He's never even on telly anyway. So I don't understand. Mm. It's piss weak. It's like getting Jamie Redknapp to do it.
Hey, come on. Jim's been round Jamie Redknapp's house. He had a lovely time.
I've been round Jamie Redknapp's
house. I think Jamie Redknapp's a lovely, lovely fella. But what I'm saying is he's not a combative guy, is he? He's not a Roy Keane type character.
Doesn't have to be. Very different type of player, very different type of man. Jason McAteer, I think we like old Macca, don't we? He did say, though, that it just tells me when the big occasion comes, can Manchester United actually do it? Can they do it, Jim Campbell? Paul Pogba said midweek that this will be a beautiful game for everybody. Do you think it's going to be a beautiful game?
I'm actually really looking forward to it because I said a little while ago on the show that the big event fixtures have felt less like events this season. And a lot of that is due to the strangeness of it and a lot of it due to the so-called big six, top six rather, kind of being really kind of flaky. And this one, though, genuine top-of-the-table clash between champions Liverpool and kind of like, you know, upstarts Man United is a great kind of flip of the kind of dynamic we've seen in this fixture so much down the years, and I'm actually really looking forward to it, and it could have a real kind of impact on how the season pans out, because you know there's a lot of horrible stuff happening in the world at the moment. It's really boring, but there's a couple of good things going on as well, which is obviously the vaccine is here, but also I think we've got a title race. I think we've got an actually unpredictable title race kind of starting to form because nobody seems to be able to click into gear and pull away. And I mean, people like Jason McAteer are pointing at Man United and saying perhaps, you know, this is just a bit of an anomaly of this oddly tight season. But you've got to give them credit. I mean, they're unbeaten in 15 away games. The last time they lost an away fixture in the league was at Anfield in January last year. And that's pretty amazing. You've got to give them and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer credit for that. He has, by kind of sticking in there and being backed, he has got Man United feeling together. And, you know, Fernandes coming in was obviously a huge thing. And Marcus Rashford this week has been talking about how, you know, anything less than a title for them is a failure this season. And he's talking up the kind of the understanding that he, Martial and Fernandes have. And it's all completely reasonable and fair enough. And, you know, they might not be the most scintillating Man United team, but as Luke says, they're on top because of a very valid metric. So I am excited about it. I wonder how Liverpool are going to approach this because this is the last thing they want, isn't it? A resurgent Man United. If they beat them, what does that do to the psychology of the rest of the season, really?
Well, it prolongs silly season, Jim. But one thing that Manchester United will be looking forward to perhaps is seeing Amad Diallo in a Manchester United kit. He's yet to make his debut, the 18-year-old from Ivory Coast. Rio Ferdinand has tipped him to be a world beater like Cristiano Ronaldo. And Ferdinand went on to say, I don't want to put the pressure of Ronaldo on him. Well, then don't, Rio. But no one knew about Ronaldo when we bought him other than people in Portugal. This kid seems similar in that sense. It's like, oh, well, there goes the secrecy of that weapon.
Yeah. Also, similar in that no one had really heard of him. Can't you apply that to sort of any young player? Even though Ronaldo came with loads of fanfare. It's like, you know, Jason McAteer here has clearly got his Liverpool hat on trying to pile a bit of pressure on Man United. Has Rio Ferdinand done that, but with his Leeds hat on? Has he forgotten who he's supposed to be pulling for here?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't know is the honest answer, but it's an interesting one. I mean, look, he's he looks like a quality young player. We haven't seen much of him, of course. I think he played a handful of games for at Atalanta. But I tell you what, though, with Manchester United having a player like that, you know, at the moment, what I think is quite handy because they have a lot of players in those kind of positions. I don't think that there will be much pressure on him unless Rio Ferdinand keeps comparing him to Cristiano Ronaldo. Because if he doesn't play well, well, you take him out and put someone else in. So I think he will get a chance, but I think it's not a bad time for him to be joining the club. But Ed Woodward recently attributed Manchester United's form, Luke, to their top-class recruits. Go on, Woodward. Give yourself a bit of credit, son.
Yeah, and at first glance, you think, oh, yeah, old Ed is just bigging himself up. But, I mean, I think it's probably fair to say that he's had a fair amount of criticism in recent years. So perhaps when things go well, if we're going to blame him for everything that's gone wrong, perhaps we should at least give him some credit if some of the signings start to go well. You know something that Jim hasn't mentioned there, and something that maybe is worthy of a quick mensch, is that Man United defensively haven't been that good. So, I mean, they've got the worst defence in the top half of the Premier League. Now, I know Vish, our pal and Man United expert, would say that you know, they need perhaps more cover in the centre of midfield in front of their defenders and all that kind of stuff. You know, they're in a position now, Man United. What Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has done is he's moved them into a position where, realistically, we're half, you know, almost halfway through the season, they're top of the league. They're Man United. Don't never forget they're Man United, right? So if the transfer window's open, if they could go in and find a really top quality centre-back, it might make all the difference to them. I just feel like, seen football over enough seasons to know that it's pretty rare for a team with a really poor defence. Like I say, worst defence in the top half. It's pretty rare for a poor defensive team to win the Premier League. And that could be what undermines them, you know, come May. So that's the kind of dimension of it I wanted to add that we hadn't talked about already. I think this game at the weekend will probably be decided. It'll be a cagey affair, probably be decided by a solitary Danny Murphy penalty.
Quite possibly, or a lovely little lob. Mark Clattenburg, he's been mentioned once or twice recently on the Ramble. He's been piping up about Jurgen Klopp.
Not enough for me.
No, well, don't worry, pal. We're going to satisfy you both at the same time. Ooh,
awful. Awful thought. I'd rather watch Arsenal Palace than that.
It will involve Clattenburg doing that little lizard tongue thing that he did in the Champions League
final. Marcus Speller! Yeah, where the hell has this come from?
Do you not remember what he did in Milan when he was Champions League?
I remember what he did in Milan, Marcus, but I don't know why you're speculating about Mark Clattenburg threesomes.
Yeah.
What? I don't. Jim Campbell. I just want to quote Clattenburg. Luke said he hasn't been on the show enough for his liking. Actually, you're going on about threesomes.
You've walked into Marcus's trap there, Jim. You shouldn't have done that.
I have. The smut alarm has been sounded, and it's because of Jim Campbell. Anyway, back to Clattenburg, who said about Jurgen Klopp, he does not like losing. He never has. Well, fair. He gets prickly. But he's wrong to suggest there is an aura around Man United that seems to give that sees them given favourable decisions. There used to be when Fergie was there. But that has been eased massively since he left.
Outrageous.
How about that?
Well, Mark Clatterbuck used to referee games when Man United had Alex Ferguson. So it's not a great look, is it?
No, it isn't. No. And also, it's something that we all knew anyway because we saw it, Jim.
Indeed. Yeah, we know we saw it. But it is a startling admission, isn't it? And very unprofessional. And obviously, there's not really anything you can do about it now. But you feel like, I don't know, Man United get docked penalties now to make up for it. I don't know what you do, but it's really frustrating because as a fan watching this happen in favour of Man United, I mean, it's easy to forget how much people hated them, isn't it, when they were really, really dominant. And part of the reason that people hated them so much was stuff like Fergie time and stuff like thinking, it seeming like they were getting soft penalties and things like that. And to hear that actually was the case is so annoying retrospectively.
Yeah, don't worry,
because they were getting special treatment.
Yeah, but Clattenburg took action, saying, I am the only referee to give three penalties to the opposition at Old Trafford, and that was all for Liverpool in 2014. But David Moyes was manager. I'm not sure that would have happened when Fergie was there. He's just admitting, yeah, Fergie was there, I might not have done that. I mean,
well done, Clats. You did a bit of your job.
Well, I suppose at least he's honest. You know, a bit of honesty there from the referee, but yeah.
Genuinely, this should be a kind of moment to learn from for the referees department, which is that they need to acknowledge that this is a thing, that can happen in big games against sort of charismatic managers, and kind of almost like put something in place to psychologically guide the referees through it. Perhaps there is something in place for that. I don't know, but it seems like something that needs to be addressed. If because I mean, you know, if a referee said this during a season where they were an active referee, could you imagine the scandal?
Oh yeah, this is exactly why. You know, you don't see or hear from referees when they're refereeing, because this is exactly the sort of thing that will come out, because some referees have got a real big ego on them, as we know. You know, and yes, that is hypocritical of me to say, but they have.
We're human beings.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is why when people wish for referees to come out and explain their decisions, you kind of open the floodgates if you're not careful, where they can start saying things, maybe not even meaning to, where they get themselves in a bit of trouble. But there's always been a understanding, I believe, at least in the last few years, that referees are biased in certain ways subconsciously. And it's not really very easy to do anything about that, right?
So yeah.
Unless you want to referee by computer, which obviously it seems the authorities might based on what we've seen so far, there's not really an awful lot you can do about it. I think it particularly comes to the fore in big games for home teams and big stadiums, just because of the way, I suppose, brains are wired, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't even think, it might well be, if we're being ultra fair to Mark Clattenburg, which I've got absolutely no motivation to do, but just for the purpose of conversation, it may well be that he's looked back at some of the performances and said, oh, actually, do you know what? In retrospect, it appears that was happening, but it doesn't necessarily mean he felt that at the time, right?
Sure, no, I agree with you. And I think it's good that he's admitted that. And I think that those kind of admissions and that kind of sort of knowledge and sort of wisdom looking back on it with hindsight actually helps referees now. I think, was it Michael Oliver? I forget which referee now, was given an interview recently, and he was talking about some of the things. And again, they are human beings, you know. And also, I don't think the problem is necessarily a referee as a human being intimidated by a powerful person in football. It's the authorities dealing with someone like Ferguson at the, you know, putting pressure on referees. Because if you're a ref and you think, oh, if I do this, then I'm going to be highlighted by a manager and it's all going to be put upon me. That's where the FA or whoever need to step in and say, no, you can't say, which of course they do. But interestingly, Marcus Rashford, talking about penalties and whatnot, has come out and said that Jose Mourinho taught him how to be more savvy in winning penalties.
It's backfired now, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say.
For old Mourinho. I can totally understand that. On the referees and you know, maybe the penalties type thing as well, I can remember the best ever Alex Ferguson spat with a referee. Was, do you remember when he just blatantly accused Alan Wiley of not being fit enough to be a referee?
Yeah.
And he came out to after a game once, and I think he got fined for it, but he said something like, Alan Wiley was just booking players to have a rest there.
Yeah.
He was literally booking players so he could take a rest.
Yeah, that's so
and
bad.
Because Alan Wiley was the referee when Robert Pires dived over Arian Dazou, I think it was, to protect Arsenal's unbeaten run against
Brilliant.
Portsmouth.
That's my favourite result in the whole thing, that, genuinely.
I thought it might be, yeah.
Oh, gentlemen, let's move on to Chelsea versus Fulham on Saturday afternoon. Have you heard the big news coming out of Chelsea Football Club is that their longest-serving player currently has been released? It's Lucas Piazon. Or Piazon, depending on which side of the bed you get up. Big Lucas is off. He arrived at Chelsea from Sao Paulo in 2011, but he played only 3 times for the club, his last appearance coming 8 years ago. He was unlucky, considering 2 of those appearances came in a 6-0 win over Wolves in the League Cup and an 8-0 win over Aston Villa in the Premier League, which I was at. Actually, so I have seen him play for Chelsea. I've also seen him play for Fulham. He did okay, actually, a couple of seasons at Fulham, but he only had 7 loan spells. What a fairy tale.
Marcus, when's the testimonial? I mean, technically he's eligible for one, right? Because that's 10 years.
I think he might just be shy.
What a servant, though. I'd demand one if I was him. Listen, you've taken this and you've done this to me, so I want a testimonial. No one would turn up, okay? No one knows who he is.
Well, I mean, there's sort of the calendar years are there. I don't know if it actually would be, but he'd be close. He'd certainly be close. But he's gone to Braga permanently, which is nice. So he can set down roots. But Chelsea's Twitter account also hailed Marco van Hinkel's return to the pitch from a 32-month injury at his loan club PSV. He hasn't played for Chelsea for 7 years.
Yeah, that's a lot sadder, though. That is, that's, I mean, he's missed 32 months of football, mm-hmm. and the recovery this time was from having surgery to literally rebuild the ligaments in his knee. And so, I mean, can you imagine the emotional toll that must take? He's 28 years old now. Mm-hmm. He's missed so much football, and he still seems like this kind of new upcoming player because so much of his career has been spent on the sidelines and sort of in a lot of other careers and most other sports, really, if you had some equivalent, you know, hurdle that you had to overcome, it just wouldn't be possible in a lot of cases. So, yeah, I really, really feel for him. And I hope that he can actually just get a run together now.
Mm. Luke, Fulham have put a bit of a run together in terms of draws. They love a point. Not all three. But, they played well against Spurs, obviously. Do you think they can upset Frankie Lampard?
Well, I think I talked a bit about this yesterday and Andy Brassel told me off. So now I feel on safer ground. Yeah, I think they've got an opportunity because Chelsea are quite unpredictable and Chelsea are in that, well, Frank Lampard is in that slot that you don't really want to be in where every time you lose a game, there are question marks asked about you. So Fulham have turned into quite a sticky team. They just stick in there. I mean, against Spurs, when Spurs didn't take the chances they had in the first half, as I mentioned yesterday, Fulham were able to stick around. And I think, you know, even if you go back to the Newcastle game, where, you know, just before Christmas, which sounds like a bit of a weird game to mention because Newcastle aren't very good, but Fulham had a man sent off in that game and they still stuck at it and still got a point. So they need to start turning those points into wins for sure because they play Man United after after they play Chelsea, and we've already talked about how good Man United are away from home. So, look, I think they've definitely got a chance for sure because, as I've said to you guys before, like, I mean, I think I'm probably the only person that said this because no one else will admit it outside of the ramble. No one knows what's happening this season. They're just pretending they do. So it's impossible to predict what's going to happen. So of course they can do something. None of us would be, if we're honest, would be surprised if we flicked the TV on and saw that Fulham had won this game 3-1. You wouldn't be surprised.
No.
because there's nothing surprising about this season now.
Well, yeah, Chelsea could win 3-0 or Fulham could, more likely Chelsea, but I don't know, with Alphonse Areola in goal, very difficult to get past.
Made some
Jim.
Fantastic saves against him.
Yeah, he's great. All right, gentlemen, before we go to a break, a little plug for On the Continent. A brand new episode of On the Continent is available right now over at Football Ramble Presents. Dotton and Andy were joined by Nicky Bandini to assess Atletico's title credentials and Bayern's shock cup defeat midweek. And of course, Neymar and Alvaro's sensational trash talk. It is well worth listening for that. Just head over to Football Ramble Presents and find the most recent On the Continent. Everything you need to know about European football is right there. Right, let's have a break.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week on Stakhanov. Throughout January, Clash of the Titles are letting you pick the films being battled out on air. Already binged your way through Netflix during lockdown? Listen as Alex, Vicky and Chris rediscover and tear apart old and new favourites alike, week in, week out.
I like that here, though, that Michael Bay starts as he means to go on. I made a list of sort of Bayisms from this sequence. Low angles, lens flare, dry ice, washed out colours, military hardware, men marching, orchestral score, guitar riffs.
Or if you're looking for some much needed escapism, why not catch up with the Abroad in Japan podcast? Chris was recently joined by Joey the Anime Man to discuss mastering conversational Japanese.
That's a really interesting topic, bat channeling, which is where you kind of go,
In Japanese, if you don't do the every now and then people just think you're not listening or you're ignoring them.
All that and a whole lot more at Stakhanov.
De Bruyne, De Gea, De Arby.
De, welcome back to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway, everybody. It's time for emails.
Just email the show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vince, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
Yes, and Dave Nutt has been in touch. The extraordinarily brilliantly named Dave Nutt, because Pete's play-by-mail manager game chat is rumbling on. After listening to Pete talk about his play-by-mail experiences, says Dave, it took me back to my short-lived playing days myself. Mine did involve real name players, and I was manager of Ajax. Now, do you think it's been established and explained properly, you guys, exactly what play-by-mail is? Like, do we need to give people a reminder?
I think we do.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so back before... This is going to make me sound like the oldest man in the world. Back before the internet, you could play a kind of fantasy football championship manager style game by mail. So you would do everything analog, everything manually. So you would follow up and make signings on the phone. You would send your teams off. You would sign players. It'd all be done essentially manually. So it meant you had to correspond and interact with people by letter, by phone, etc., etc. And you'd get all the information through the post and do your transfers and stuff on the phone. As far as I remember it, now, I've already said yesterday I wasn't actually allowed to play because my parents wouldn't let me. So if anyone wants to send in a much better pricey of it than that, then please do so. But that's kind of how it worked. So I'll let Dave pick up the story. He said the version I played, you also had the phone numbers of the other managers so you could arrange transfers. I'd agreed over the blower to sell Mark Overmars to Lazio for 15 million big ones, which is a massive fee back in the day, right? So I filled in my little slip of paper detailing the transfer, signed it, and popped it in the post along with my team for the week. That slip is then sent to the Lazio manager to countersign and send in. Cut to 2 weeks later, I've got no Mark Overmars because the transfer's gone through, but my bank balance isn't as healthy as I'm expecting. The little scamp had put a decimal place in between the 1 and the 5.
Ooh.
Right? This resulted in my dad picking up the phone and hurling abuse at some squeaky-voiced Scottish child, which at the time I thought was undoubtedly the right thing to do. Looking back, it probably wasn't ideal behaviour, but if you're out there, Scottish Lazio manager, you still owe me 13.5 million quid. And listen, that's probably going to be in the early 90s, so inflation's going to put that fee through the roof now.
That's excellent.
I mean, it'd be great if we can try and track down this Scottish kid, see what his side of the story is. But it looks like a very successful fraud, effectively.
Love to know how Mark Overmars got on for the rest of the season. That'd be absolutely chilling, wouldn't it? Gutted.
I mean, if he was at Ajax, he was probably killing it at the time.
So.
Yeah. So Matt has been in touch. And Matt says, on the subject of Bovril, this is something I'm not sure whether I should admit to, but as long as I can remember, my family has had Bovril on toast.
Ooh.
Not diluted Bovril, pure, unadulterated beef extract on toast. On top of butter, of course, we're not heathens. I don't know anyone else who does this, and the more I think about it, the weirder it is. It wasn't until I started going to football did I realise that Bovril was meant to be drunk, not put on toast. All in all, pretty bizarre. Not sure whether I should remain anonymous with this email, but here we are. So we've made you sort of half anonymous, Matt, by redacting your surname there.
And that was from Matt Gonzalez.
can I just say, I don't think it is that bizarre. And I was always under the impression I'm not really a big fan of it anyway, but I was always under the impression that Bovril could be spread on toast just like Vegemite or Marmite. I thought that was how it's, right. I thought that's part of it.
I don't really understand it, to be honest. I think, again, we should probably do a little bit of an explainer to anyone that's from outside the UK or a place where
we'll
they don't have it.
We'll do a Twitter
poll, Jim. Bovril. Yeah. Bovril is a sort of beef tea, and yes, it is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Why does it even exist?
Back in the day, big Darren Moore, centre-back for Portsmouth, at Fratton Park, everyone used to call him Bovril, because once you got the ball at his feet, you needed to watch your Bovril.
That's right.
He's
covered in the stand. That's great, that. Right. Yeah, I suppose, yeah, when you compare it to Marmite, which is, it's almost like liquidised Marmite, in a sense, is, you know, it's the same family, I'm sure. Then, yeah, I don't think that's that shocking, Matt, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but don't hide your light under a bushel, Matt.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much for your emails there, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, the email address is show@footballramble.com. For some reason, some people are struggling with this. Show@footballramble.com. You've had plenty of messaging and songs about this. So there we are, show@footballramble.com. Right, gentlemen, this Saturday night, it's Leicester versus Southampton. I believe that once finished 9-0 to Leicester. Tick. But Leicester are unbeaten in seven in the league since they lost to Old Fulham, of course. But last month, Brendan Rodgers, he attributed their success to a hotel summit he held with the team at the end of last season after they lost against Manchester United and didn't quite clinch that top four place that they wanted to get. He took the squad to the Grove Hotel for some team building and address the elephant in the room, which was failing to qualify for the Champions League. And through feedback from some of the players, which was done on what Rodgers called a workshop basis, Luke, what do you think they got up to doing their Brendan Rodgers' workshop?
The mind boggles. The thing is, do you know what? It's easy to have a little pop at old Brendan, who's clearly a good manager. And it had a lot more weight and a lot more fun when he wasn't as good as he thought he was. But now he is actually pretty good.
It's
clear to everyone that he's pretty good. So his methods clearly are working. And to me, I hope this doesn't sound as unfair to Brendan, but he seems really clever enough for the players to kind of respect him and kind of follow him and want to try his ideas, but not so professorial that he kind of isolates people, normal people. So he's in that little sweet spot from what I can make out. And I would bloody love to do a workshop with the Leicester first team because there's just so many characters in there. I'd quite like to be involved.
I would. If I was a professional footballer nowadays and had a bit of ambition, Rodgers would be one of those managers that one would want to work for or with, rather.
And who others would you? Which others? List the others.
Klopp. Depending on how I was feeling about myself, Mourinho.
Not Pep, though.
About the bald fraud.
Oh, you know, Pep's got... It depends.
Marcus, you wouldn't react well to Pep, I don't think.
Do you not think?
Nah, I think you're much more a Klopp Rodgers guy. I completely agree when you said that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And Solskjaer, just for the lols, you know?
Yeah.
Wanted a bit of a break.
Reminisce about the old times. Yeah. You both love the 90s.
Yeah, oh... You would have a brilliant time.
Yeah, I think Solskjaer's the one on that basis.
Yeah.
Remember Britpop, all right, cool.
Duet in a Wonderwall.
Wait, and top of the league, Jim. Lest we forget.
Jim, Marcus and Ole in the Man United canteen, passionately defending Be Here Now.
Yeah, you just got to give it a couple of listens.
No,
takes
it's not
a couple
too
of
long.
Days.
Shut up.
You don't get what they're doing. They couldn't just do the same thing over and over again, could they? But they did. Shut up.
All right, Jim, you're going a bit too far. Okay.
Yeah, that's enough, Jim.
defend their honour. Where were we? In a hotel with Brendan Rodgers. Yeah, sounds great to me. Actually, to be fair, I think Rodgers, and this is the kind of thing I would expect. I forget who it was. It might have been Philippe Auclair, who said that he went to, when Rodgers was at Swansea, went to do like an interview with him, spend a bit of time with him. And he said that, you know, at that time, Rodgers was kind of trying to get, maybe there's an element of self-promotion, but he's trying to build that kind of aura or that sort of reputation, about himself, which is understandable. Everybody, you know, a lot of people do that in various walks of life. But he said, you couldn't, you know, to a man or woman, everyone loved him at that club. Now, people of Swansea may think differently, but that's what Philippe found. They all were, you know, really bought into what he was doing. They all really spoke so highly of him and really liked him and respected him. And I think that kind of comes across, doesn't it, with a lot of the players, the way they respond to him sometimes, the way they react and whatnot. So he's doing something right. You know, as I say, we could sort of take the piss and whatnot, and we will.
No, I completely agree with that. That's fair.
But I'm sure a lot of teams do this kind of thing, you know. But I think he taps into that perhaps more emotional side of players, which is, it's always been important, but perhaps more than ever, Jim. But
absolutely. It's a strange thing to point to as well, isn't it? When you look, they're having a really good season and you would think, I mean, you know, he's got them on the training ground like three or four times a week, every week. And you would think that would have more to do with the success they're having. So it's interesting that he points to this team building thing, but it is clearly a hugely important part of it, isn't it? Because it's a strangely pressured job, Leicester, because of what happened before when they sort of won the league against all the odds. You're shooting for the moon, really. You know, it's there's a lot of pressure on them to be successful, and it's also hard to define what success actually means for them. So pushing for the Champions League is, you know, had that season not happened, that would seem so overly, hugely ambitious for Leicester. And it's about managing that. And it's about sort of keeping them in a direction that seems exciting and is forward looking. And he's doing a fantastic job of that. It's a hard place to go in and motivate again, isn't it? Because you've got characters like Ibiza holiday rep Jamie Vardy and some of the old guard. And you've got the newer players that you've got to put together as well. So I snuck that in. Could we talk about that? Did you see that?
Yeah. No, that is a fair snuck.
Yeah, because Jamie Vardy, it's been revealed this week that Jamie Vardy, while he was at Leicester, in his first season at Leicester after he signed for Fleetwood, was considering quitting football because he had an offer to go and be an Ibiza holiday rep. And I think that might be an indicator of clearly the rip in the fabric of reality that has led to the world that we find ourselves in. I think that's a little window into what the world should be. And well, that Jamie Vardy might be responsible for how mad everything is.
I think we clearly came to the conclusion Jamie came to the conclusion that he was at a crossroads and he could either knuckle down and carry on playing for Leicester and go on and have a good career, or he could be an Ibiza club rep. And eventually, after a lot of soul searching, he decided to do both.
And he'll go full time at it when he's quit football. So, you know.
It's a passion, you know. Football's just,
exactly.
Yeah, it's a passion. You've got to follow your passion, right?
He'd do it for free.
Play for Leicester.
Yeah, but I think because he's Jamie Vardy, I think that he wouldn't be I don't think he actually would be a rep in somewhere like Ibiza where all the kids are drinking. I mean, he would do that. But I think he would also, because he's Jamie Vardy, the company would foolishly think it would be a good idea to send him somewhere as a rep. Or some sort of role, similar role, in quite a posh resort. And so then you'll get like ex-footballers and stuff turning up because that's where they'll holiday. And Vardy will be there going, hey, remember when I nutmegged you? Hey, remember when I stuck three past you? And they'll get really annoyed. They'll be like, oh no, why have we shouldn't have done this. We'll get him back on the streets of, you know, San Antonio, whatever the place is in Ibiza, you know, where everyone goes on the piss.
I imagine it. Smashing everyone at ping pong and cupping his ear to them.
That's what I did in Menorca, to be fair, apart from I couldn't beat Marcus.
Oh, no, you did. Yeah. But that was a good duel, that, actually, we had.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very good indeed.
You should put that as a patron benefit. Play against me and Marcus at ping pong.
Doubles. So there we are. So, yeah, looking forward to that one. Leicester versus Southampton. Wonder what happened.
Can I just say, the chat was so diverse on that preview game that I actually forgot who Leicester were playing. Thanks for the reminder. I genuinely forgot who they were playing.
Well, if Southampton can win, then I'm sure they'll get a good old mention on Monday's show, no doubt. Gentlemen, a little bit of before we sort of go on to Four to Score and Luke's game, we have to mention some sort of financial troubles that have been happening with Lazio. I don't know if you saw this. Lazio have said that their financial department mistakenly listed two payments worth 11 million euros for Pedro Neto to Sporting rather than Sporting Braga. Now, I refrain from saying Sporting Lisbon. It's, of course, Sporting Club de Portugal, as a Spaniard would say it. But they just because they're both called Sporting at the start,
Was it the guy who did the play-by-mouth thing with Dave Nutter?
Yes.
Could have been. We found him. We found him already in record time.
Yeah, Braga did receive the money eventually. But one, the mind boggles, really. Is Pete Donaldson heading the Lazio financial department? I don't know.
Yeah, they got it in Bitcoin. It was definitely Pete. Yeah.
Go behind the bins, it's there. That was quite a glorious one. Right, anyway, without further ado, it's time for Four to Score.
Yes, it is. It's time for Betway's Four to Score, which, of course, entry into is absolutely free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. I can't remember how we got on last week. I'm never on Monday. So
we didn't win.
Oh, good. I thought that might be the case.
Yeah, we got none of them right.
Okay, great. So game one this week is the aforementioned Leicester City versus Southampton. It's on Saturday night. And Marcus, you're up first.
Yeah, I'm playing it safe. We've got to go for Vardles.
Yeah, Jamie Vardy. Hope he can squeeze that game in before he's off to... Oh, no, you can't go anywhere at the moment, can you? So, yeah, he will be knuckling down. Game two is Sheffield United v Spurs, which is Sunday afternoon. Jim Campbell.
I am looking to continue the form from Monday by trying to curse Spurs by picking Son Heung-min.
Okay, nice tactic. At least you admit it. Just don't forget that Spurs not scoring doesn't mean Arsenal will score, mate. Remember that.
Well, you take what you can get at this point.
True. Game number three is Liverpool v Man United, the big one. Who better to do the big game than the big man himself, Andy Brassel? And here's what he had to say.
Hello, all. This is very exciting, getting Liverpool United. I'm super stoked about the game. I realise it's traditional in this sort of situation when Liverpool are at home to go for Mo Salah. But no, I have a funny little feeling for United. I don't know if Vish has given me the vibes over that, but I think Edinson Cavani is the man for the big occasion. And so I'm going for Edinson Cavani to score first.
Edinson Cavani, a quite controversial pick from the big brass.
Yeah,
He is the man who knows the game. So I don't know if Edinson Cavani will actually start. So it's a big gamble. Speaking of big gambles, fourth game of Betway's Four to Score is Man City v Palace on Sunday night. It's my game. I've gone for John Stones. Feel free to berate me, chaps.
You idiot!
What's the thinking there, Luke?
The thinking is that I don't know, have any... Well, but first of all, I think that Manchester City will beat Crystal Palace. That's point number one. Point number two, I have no idea what players Pep Guardiola is going to pick.
Yeah.
So I thought John Stones has been getting a run in the team. He scored not that long ago. And as assistant producer Finn helpfully pointed out, or was it Charlie, that he got a couple of goals for England in the World Cup. So I thought, why not?
Yeah, still fresh in the memory. I'd have picked Andros Townsend.
Yeah, exactly. So they are our four to score selections. Jamie Vardy, Son Heung-min, Edinson Cavani and John Stones. What I will say is, if we get to game four and we're in the hunt still and it's down to me and John Stones, I might be under a bit of pressure. Anyway, make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. You must be over the age of 80 to gamble and do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. That was Betway's Four to Score. This is Luke's game.
It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it.
Yes, indeed. It's time for Luke's game. And Marcus Speller has elevated himself from, competitive people's champion with the occasional high-profile win to a kind of Ronnie O'Sullivan type character now, where... last week's performance was extraordinary. Let's get that absolutely right. He showed flashes of that with Alan Boxic back in the day. And now, Jim, you've got all the work in the world to do because he's like butter. He's on a roll. He's greasy. Right. What do you need, Jim Campbell, to be successful in this game?
You need your head in some sort of white good with some fire in your belly.
Yeah, fire in the belly, head in the freezer. We're not going to muck around. Everyone knows how it goes. Jim, you are the challenger, so you are up first. I'm just going to get my pen and paper out so I can keep a note of the scores. You've got it all to do here, but I'm sure certain people who aren't fully paid up members to Marcus's very expensive official fan club are pulling for you. So good luck, Jim. Good luck, Marcus. Marcus, you ready to start?
Yeah.
Good to go. All right, great. So first player, Jim Campbell, you're up first. He's played for five clubs. Don't forget, a quick game is a good game here. He's played for five clubs. He retired in 1999.
Ooh.
Okay.
It's Steve Bruce.
Bruce.
Ooh, God.
As a player.
He's played for five clubs.
That's mad.
Yeah. Bloody hell.
Presumably, Jim, like me, you've definitely got one.
I've definitely certainly got one.
Yeah.
I think I might have two.
What's your bid, mate?
I'm going to go for two.
Marcus?
This is annoying because of his managerial career, I'm thinking, did he play or manage them?
Yeah.
I'll push the boat out. I'll go three.
Whoa! Jim, you're not going to go four, surely?
Absolutely right.
I think with two, there's the obvious one, and then I think the second one might be guessable, but I could be totally wrong because I'm going
you've
on...
You've gone for three.
Yeah, well, I've gone for three, and two are maybes, which is usually a perilous position that one should be in Luke's. All right, yeah. Okay, let's name the three. Okay.
Okay, so one at a time, please, Marcus. If you don't mind, name your three clubs that Steve Bruce has played for.
Manchester United.
Obviously correct.
Yeah, suddenly the ice is a lot thinner. Sheffield United.
Yeah.
Oh,
ended
brilliant.
His career there before he became manager, yeah.
Now, there's two clubs I've got in my mind. I'm pretty sure he managed both. I'm going to say Birmingham City.
Yes! Oh, brilliant, Marco.
Well played.
I was well, the other ones right. I would have gone for would have been Sunderland and Norwich.
Hull City was the one I wasn't sure. It was Birmingham or Hull I had mulling over in my mind.
Yeah, Hull was an incorrect answer, so it's good that he went for Birmingham. So he started his career at Gillingham, then went to Norwich City before being signed by Man United, and then Birmingham, and then finally finishing at Sheffield United. Never got an England cap, Steve Bruce, which is probably the most scandalous thing that I can think of. Given how good he was as a player.
Also scored 19 goals in a season. He took the penalties, but a lot of strikers would be happy with that. It's amazing. I'm surprised he didn't play in the Northeast. It's really weird. But there you go.
He was an absolute danger from a set piece. Anyway, let's move on to the next player. Marcus, you're up first this time. He's played for eight clubs in total. He retired in 1997, but he did retire very, very early. It's Eric Cantona.
I knew you were going to say Cantona.
Eight clubs.
Blimey. I think where's the sweet spot? And it's higher than two. well, I'm going to say four.
Jim?
I'm not going anywhere near that.
All right, fair enough. So, Marcus, you're up for four clubs that Eric Cantona, the legend, has played for. 1966 was a great year for English football. Eric Cantona was born. You've got four clubs to name that Cantona played for, Marcus. One at a time, please. Go ahead.
I'm quietly confident about this. Manchester United. Leeds United.
They're your obvious ones, straight away.
I'm pretty sure I've got this. Auxerre.
It's where he started his career.
Now, this one's the only... Marseille?
Get in there!
Correct!
Very good, Marcus.
Well, Zero's where he started his career. He went on loan to Martigues. I don't think you would have got that. Played for Marseille, then went to Bordeaux and Montpellier.
Oh, Bordeaux.
Then played for Nîmes and then Leeds United briefly, all too briefly if you're a Leeds United fan, I'm sure. And then played for Man United. Okay, that's two. Jim, you've got all the work in the world to do now, mate. Yeah. But it might work in your favour because the random player generator for our third...
Is Ryan Giggs.
No. Has played for six clubs in total. He retired in 2004. A legend of the game, whichever way you slice it. Six clubs in total, as I said. David Seaman.
Ah, David Big Seaman. Dave.
Oh, God. Okay.
Let me add a little bit of spice to that.
I certainly do three. I'm going to do three, yeah. I'm going to play it safe.
Marcus?
Yeah, so I've got three as well. But with my form in the first two, I think I'm going to go four. I'm going to have a guess for the fourth.
Jim?
No, I want to see if David Seaman can lob Marcus.
All right, Marcus, so you've got four. Extraordinary stuff, this. Really, really extraordinary stuff. You've gone for four. Mm-hmm. If you get all four, it's a win. Okay, so the pressure's on, but I guess you've got a bit of wriggle room. So it depends which way you look at it. So one at a time, please, mate. Four clubs that David Seaman's played for.
Okay. Queen's Park Rangers. Arsenal. Manchester City.
ended his career there.
Yeah,
easy
now this
to,
is
easy to forget that.
Yeah, this is. I think Jim might be. I'm not sure if Jim maybe had QPR or not. I think Jim might be sitting there going, "Oh, like I really do have very, very little now." So this is a complete guess. I am going to guess Crystal Palace.
No. Fell short there, my friend. He had Leeds United, Peterborough United, Birmingham City, Queen's Park Rangers, Arsenal, Man City. So Leeds, Peterborough and Birmingham were your game teams there.
Did you know
so
Leeds, two, Jim?
I did know Leeds and I had forgotten QPR. Yeah.
Oh, I was the opposite. So, yeah.
There we go. All right. So, Marcus, you're up first for this one.
All right.
This is very tricky on the admin, although I'm not sure it's going to come up. So we might be okay. Fingers crossed. This guy's played for 9 clubs. He retired, you know, about 15 years ago or so. He's a legend of the Premier League. Can you? How many of the 9 clubs has Les Ferdinand played for?
Oh, blimey. Big Les.
That's a tough one, isn't it?
It is.
9, did you say?
He's played for 9, yeah. 9 pro clubs.
I'm going to say 5.
That's actually a pretty good start. Yeah.
Yeah, I could go for 6, but I'd be guessing too many of them, so I might just play the most passive game in history.
All right. Do you want me to name 5?
Yeah.
Okay. 5 clubs, Les Ferdinand.
Yeah, go for it.
Queen's Park Rangers.
Ooh.
Newcastle United.
Yep.
Newcastle, Tottenham Hotspur.
Yes, sir.
West Ham United. Besiktas.
Marcus Speller wins! There it is.
Oh, well done, Marcus.
I'm very surprised you got Besiktas. How did you
really
remember that?
Good.
I remember his goal scoring record in Turkey was very, very good.
Yeah, fair enough. Queen's Park Rangers, Brentford, Besiktas, Newcastle United, Spurs, West Ham, Leicester City, Bolton Wanderers and Reading. Now, he did spend some time at Watford, but he didn't play for them. And he also played for Southall and then Hayes, but they aren't pro clubs. Well, they weren't at the time. So it was 9 clubs in total. Marcus, there's another win for you.
Yeah.
You're out in front. Do you want to just do the last one very quickly?
I'd love to. With Ferdinand, those clubs in the sort of the up north and the Midlands, like the Boltons and the Leicester thing, that was like, I couldn't remember if it was Derby County or whatever. So, yeah, interesting. Yeah. He's played a lot of different clubs.
Interestingly, sometimes it's harder if the player in question hasn't played abroad much.
Yeah.
Because it stands out less if they've sort of... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, so the last player, Jim, you'd have gone first. It was 11 clubs in total. It was Robbie Keane.
Oh, right.
Robbie Keane. All right. So, let me have a think.
Let's have a bit of face here, mate.
Can do 6, definitely, off the top of my head. Can I do more than that? Yeah.
Let's call it 6.
It doesn't matter. I'll do 6, yeah.
Marcus?
I think I can do 8.
Jim, you're not going to bid 9, are you? So should we get Marcus the name as 8?
Yeah, do it. Yeah.
All right, go for it, mate.
I might be wrong straight off the bat here, actually. No, okay, I'll save that one. Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Yeah, started his career there.
Liverpool.
Yeah.
Boyhood dream.
Tottenham Hotspur.
Played for him twice. 2 boyhood dreams.
Celtic.
Yep. Another boyhood dream.
Yep. Inter.
Boyhood dream.
LA Galaxy.
Boyhood dream.
I'm losing count now. West Ham United. And did he play for Coventry City?
I think he started there.
No, he started at Wolves, but he did play for Coventry. Yep, absolutely right.
There's 8.
I think that's about as many as you bid for. That'll do. That's 4-1. Fantastic performance.
5-0, isn't it?
Yet again.
Oh, no, he didn't.
No, you got... Yeah. Who were the other three clubs he'd played for, Luke?
So Wolves, Coventry, Inter, Leeds United,
Leeds.
Spurs, Liverpool, Celtic, West Ham, LA Galaxy, Aston Villa.
Oh, yeah.
And he ended his career at ATK. I believe that's how they are referenced. They are a football club based in India.
Oh. Coventry to Inter has surely only happened that one time.
Yeah, same. It's the same with Mark Hatley. Portsmouth to AC Milan.
Yeah, love that. Hang on. A few players went from...
Yeah.
Did last Diarra, Portsmouth to Real Madrid?
Yeah, that probably happened as well. Yeah, I suppose we went for that mental time, didn't we, where lots of things someone in between. Weird happened.
Suleiman Tari? Portsmouth is the springboard. I don't know whether it's a one step from Portsmouth to the great clubs, but it's certainly a step.
You have to fly from Southampton Airport, which is... a little bit depressing.
Yeah, indeed. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Enjoy the football this weekend. We're back on Monday. We'll see you then. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Ta-ta for now, listeners.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around the duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.